CSI. Somebody has dropped the kids off at the pool, and only David Caruso can make sure they wipe it up on CSI Miami.
What do we got?
Well, Horatio, when a police officer caught this kid trying to break into his car, the kid messed his pants.
Well, I guess the officer wasn't the only one on duty.
David Caruso is following his nose to the one suspect who made a number two on CSI Miami.
Horatio, the kid's attorney is claiming the excrement found at the scene doesn't match the evidence from the suspect's shorts.
Well, I'd hate to dump the charges, but this case depends on the lab making the link to the kid and his log.
David Caruso is out to scoop up the bad guys on the next CSI Miami.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker.
Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker.
Some are content to stock shelves. Others, merely cashiers. But you, sir, operate the most dangerous machine known to man. The meat slicer.
There's a finger in my olive loaf.
When we ask for a pound of pastrami, Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker, you plop down a pound and a half and say, is a little over okay?
Only if I could pay you a little under.
And no one cuts the cheese quite like you.
That cheddar's really sharp, yeah.
So the next time you're holding number 67 and they're calling out number 23, wave your salami and salute to the man who's number one. Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker, a real American hero.
Mr. Supermarket Deli Worker.
Your hairnet just fell into the coleslaw.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Here are your hosts. It's Thursday, August 26th.
Thursday starts the weekend.
Back in the studio, 1,000 fucking degrees outside. And the air conditioning is barely working in here.
I think it feels fine.
Really?
Yeah, I think you like it a little chilly.
Already. Not really, you know, I mean, I usually don't complain about heat, but, actually I do. I don't like
You guys keep it a little crisp in here. I notice that y'all constantly are turning down the AC.
It's pretty cold here sometimes.
Yeah, it's usually chilly.
Yeah. But now you can tell the air is not working.
So whose fault is that? Like, how does that work? Do you yell at your landlord or what?
I don't yell at him, but we asked him to come and fix it. So someone was here a day before yesterday and said nothing was wrong, right?
Oh,
and
really?
Then yesterday they came, they realized there was a bad part, so they have to replace it. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we're sitting here and we're fucking boiling.
Yesterday? You know,
today.
Oh, today.
Right now. And the coffee's not helping, the hot coffee.
No, it's not boiling in here, though.
No? Okay, well, that's cool. I'm glad you're comfortable.
It's because you're sweating, because you're drinking that hot coffee.
I'm glad you're comfortable.
So yesterday it got to what, 110 in the valley?
Yeah, it was 110. And I got to tell you, like 9 o'clock in the evening, I was sitting on the balcony. I was sweating like a dog. And that's very unusual, you know? I mean, usually...
I was out last night, had a great time. We'll get to that in a second, but... It felt good last night because it was like warm.
Yeah, because you're in Hollywood, you know. The valley is a whole different story.
That's true. It was, I think yesterday, you know, here's the thing when you're, you know, trying to save your pennies. I don't run my AC in my car because it uses up my gas. And I'm usually...
Yeah, you're crazy.
I'm usually always on E anyway. So I'm, you know, I'm not all windows are down. and my head's out, basically.
Wow, how can you do it?
I don't know. I'm used to it now, and I forget sometimes I have friends in my car. And one day it was really hot, and I was doing what I normally do, and then finally I was like, oh, I got a friend in here. I probably should, like, you know, not be such a cheap ass and put some AC on. So I started blasting the AC, and she's like, you had AC this whole time?
How much more gas do you think it takes to run the air conditioner?
I think it
can't be that much.
I mean, you know, listen, when I'm making it
for the comfort.
Listen, when I'm a millionaire, I'll crank the AC up. How's that sound? No, it's fine.
You don't have to be a millionaire.
I know. I'm just playing.
Right?
It's the humor in it. Duh, thanks, Sam. no, but I was yesterday. I sat in my car and I had the windows down, and you know, LA is generally cool or mild. The temperatures are generally are mild. Mm-hmm. Lately, it's been, you know, our time's coming and it's the heat's kicking in. But I can just be driving in my car and I'll have all the windows down and it just, there's a lot of breeze and it feels good. I don't need I usually don't need AC generally.
Yeah, but in these hot days, even the air is hot.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So yeah, it hit me yesterday. So I left. And I was like, I feel like I'm in like a heat fog.
Mm-hmm.
The wind wasn't kicking in, and I sat there and my cheeks got real red.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with LA is I don't think you sweat a lot. It's just dry.
Normally you
it's
don't.
Dry heat, so you just feel like the heat's entrapped in your body. And you're like, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, but it's been pretty humid the past few days.
So I'm driving over the 101 to go back to Hollywood, and then it instantly gets cooler, but not much. It went from like 110 to like 95.
Really?
Yeah, it's still significant. Today is supposed to be 97 or 99 in Studio City, and then I think it's supposed to be like in the.
They're saying it'll cool off by Sunday though, like 70 degrees, 75 degrees, which is unusual. But yeah, I mean the funny thing is people have been complaining. Yeah, it's not hot. It doesn't feel like summer. Now they got it in spades.
That's what they get.
Yeah.
That's what they get. So the high today is I think 88. For the Hollywood area.
Yeah, for Hollywood, not for here.
Yeah, you guys
here
would
be... it's going to go over 100 easily.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how close we are, but it's such a huge difference?
Yeah, because it's a valley, you know, all the heat gets trapped.
Yeah, Saturday, the high is only 69 degrees.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, cool. 67. How awesome is that? So today's not going to be bad. I'll go running. I didn't run yesterday.
You'll go running today?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna, it's only going to be 86 degrees.
Right.
I could do 86. I just did Texas. Texas about killed me.
Yeah.
I started looking at plants that I can cut up and suck out juices.
Yeah.
I was like, I need survival skills. Have you ever watched those survival shows on Discovery Channel?
No.
They're quite fascinating. I just got hooked on one of them. And I've watched one episode. I'm hooked now.
Uh-huh.
One of the shows is called Dual Survival. And it's two different dudes. And one's like a hippie. And then one is like military guy, and they like go through a swamp, and they have to sleep in the swamp, and they make beds in the trees, and they, you know, eat piranha, and, you know, whatever. But anyway, one of the other shows is called Man, Woman, Wild, and it's a husband and wife team that have to do survival for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in the episode I saw, they were in the desert in Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. Well, one of the things they had to do is the guy's like, babe, I gotta pee. He's like, this isn't good because we need to keep this fluid.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, if we can't find water, we need to drink this urine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she's like from England. She's like, you want me to drink your wee? You want your wee in my face, in my mouth? I don't want your wee in my mouth. So he said the first time you pee, it's pretty sterile.
Yeah.
And then after that, it starts getting into stuff. And he's like, so they found something that he peed in, and they. And she couldn't drink it. She drank like a sip of it.
Yeah.
He drank all of it.
Disgusting, man.
Would you drink your own pee though if you're in the desert?
I guess if you don't have a choice, you would, huh?
You ask yourself these things. You're like, man, what would I do? Would I drink my pee?
Yeah.
I guess when you're.
Well, I just make sure I don't get stranded in the desert anytime soon, so I won't have to deal with it.
Yeah, but you know, it's good to know this stuff. Another thing they did is they found pieces of cacti, opened it up, and then you suckle. The juice, but you can't eat it because your body will use fluids to break it down.
Oh, really?
So you spit out, but you suck out the juice and then you throw it.
Wow, that's
throw away
interesting.
The, yeah. Interesting stuff, people.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I like the Discovery Channel. I just haven't discovered that many shows yet. But, but you know, what I'm hooked on, and I told you that, is Big Brother. And that show is getting like so good.
Really?
Yeah.
That is if we had to think of like reality show trash,
mm-hmm. That is
That's like one of the quintessential shows.
Yeah, it's a train wreck.
It really is. I mean, so is like the Kardashians, even though I love them, and you know, and so is a lot of that stuff. If it's all trash, you know, it's like Jerry Springer started it, or maybe didn't start it, but it's, you know, but I definitely think Big Brother's got to be one of those just trash. What do you think?
It is, but it's like you can't stop watching it, you know. And then yesterday, one of them was supposed to was forced to wear a penguin outfit.
Why?
For a week.
Why?
Because he lost on this game. You know, it was part of the game. And it's the funniest fucking thing you see. Because they all sit together and he's wearing this penguin costume. And this is like a macho type of a New Jersey guy, you know?
Yeah, and they threw it in. That's funny.
Yeah, so Big Brother for you. It's getting pretty good, actually.
So I was on the way here today, and I had the radio going, and I was listening to a few things, and some of the questions came up about paying for food and dates. Paying for dates could be, let's say not married, let's say dating, okay? And the question was this, and you know what I already think about this, but the question was...
Yeah, because we've discussed it before.
Yeah, but, the question was when you've been dating, and let's say you both make the same amount of money.
Right.
Who should pay?
Both.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like equal?
I mean, actually, even the woman should pay. Why not? No, really, why not? Where is it written that a man is supposed to pay?
Okay, where do I start with this? Well, a lot of the girls were answering, they were like, you know, a man should never expect it, but a woman should pick up the tab once in a while as an appreciation, basically. I agree with that. I think that a woman, you know, pitching in or picking up a tab or saying my treat or doing that really shows appreciation and gratitude. And one of the guys was saying that, what was interesting is he's like, you know, he goes, I really love picking up the bill. He goes, but what's sweet is when she goes behind my back and she gets me something or does something. And it doesn't have to be money. It's not expensive, but it's a thoughtful gesture. This is a long time ago, like a couple years ago, I went on a date with a guy and he asked me out and, you know, we went out and had some dinner and whatever. But we started talking about like kind of topics like this and roles and things like that. And he goes, you know, I'm just not into the whole a man has to be, you know, the one that pays the tab. He's like, you know, it's year 2009 or whatever it was at the time. And he goes, you know, women make as much money as men nowadays. It's not like the olden days. I just think that women should. And then he was also saying it kind of pridefully, like he prides himself on the amount of meals that he's had bought for him and how he just, you know, he's just not into this. I got to, you know, pay for the meal. And you know, I can get into the deeper issues behind that. I do totally disagree. I think that it's more than just the actual paying. I think that it says where a man's character is, that he wants to be a provider for his wife and eventually a family. I think it's deeper. It's more about what it suggests, how he cares for a woman. However, I do think that if, you know, the man doesn't have it, then, you know, he doesn't have it, or women should, you know, show appreciation by, you know, doing it from time to time. But, you know how Chris Rock, you know, Chris Rock talks about, he's like, when a woman has to reach for her wallet, something about that just makes her, you know, dry up, basically. It's like it communicates. And it's very, very instinctual. It's very much the hardwiring of women and men. And women, you know, instinctually are like want to be with a man that wants to provide, even if he can't all the time.
So you're more traditional. I mean, you believe in that.
Well, and I find
but
that
what
a lot
about
of women,
women's equality at the same time?
I don't think it suggests that equality is, to me, it's like, okay, we're all different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses, but it's not to say that one is better than the other. I mean, women carry children and they give birth, but that doesn't make them superior to men. I mean, they can't do it without a man, right? We both need each other in different ways. And, you know, I was talking to, do you remember Patty that we had on the show, who's a psychologist? Mm-hmm. She does emotional management. We were talking in the parking lot, and, you know, she said her answer to that is this. There is a hard wiring within men and within women, biological hard wiring, okay? Mm-hmm. And men's biggest fear of women is that women will humiliate them. Is that they could, and women can. Women have that ability to just emotionally castrate them and humiliate them. And women's biggest fear of men is that the men will kill them. Because
that's a good fear.
Well, that's a good fear. Whatever, Sam. But it's pretty valid. Think about it, because men are physically stronger generally than women.
Right.
And women.
And they commit most of the crimes.
There you go.
Or at least
like,
the violence.
Women
ones.
Are like walking down a back alley trying to get to their car. They're looking over their shoulders and they've got their, you know, their key between their two fingers to use as a knife. You know. But she talked about the biological hardwiring is that, you know, women are looking for when the part of a woman's brain that lights up when she feels love is memory. She remembers, oh, little Pete in the jungle, he brought me just a couple bunnies. And she remembers that. Whereas you got Samson, who brought her a big elk. And her love part of her brain that lights up is memory, like provisionally. She remembers what he's done for her. But it equates to he cares for me, he's taking care of me, blah, blah, blah. Men, their part of the love that lights up is visual. Like, go figure, right? But with men, you got to think about, like, there's a hardwiring, too, to be attracted to that which looks fertile. Okay, so, you know, large breasts and then wide hips, you know, that boom, 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 those that kind of measurement. Men are biologically hardwired to be attracted to what looks fertile, generally. Now, LA's a little different. But here's the thing. We know that women that are petite, that maybe don't have boobs or they're not, you know, they don't have wide hips. We know that that doesn't mean they can't give birth.
Right.
We know that women that look, you know, out of shape and they don't look ample or whatever, they don't look fertile, doesn't mean they're not fertile. We know that. But there's still a biological hardwiring for men to be attracted to what looks fertile. Okay?
Okay.
And it's the same thing asking a woman to not want to be with a provider is the same thing asking a man to not be attracted to fertile women.
I see.
And she said, she made that correlation. I said, oh, that's really well put. Now, with all that said, here's what I want to say.
Okay. Except, okay, go ahead and say it because we got to call a guest, but go ahead.
Okay, well, they can hang for two seconds. So listen, the guy that I was seeing in Texas, I told him, I was like, listen, babe, when I start making my millions and I'm totally out making more money than you ever thought you could, he makes way more money, obviously, than I do right now.
Makes Let's a lot, hope so.
Yeah. But, which isn't very hard, but he does. He makes good money. I was like, I don't care if I make way more money than you. When that bill comes for dinner, you better pull that wallet out and put that card on the table because it turns me on. I'll put the money in your damn account. I'll give you money to take me out and put it in your account. But you better pull that wallet out and put a card on the table.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not. It's
okay.
True.
Okay, you're not.
It's just attractive. It's like, I got it. Let me put that on there.
Yeah, but you got to think, you got to ask yourself, why is it attractive to
It's
you?
All about just the perception that he's taking care of a woman. He's
okay,
care
so
of
that's kind of primal. You need to think beyond that.
It's not a deal breaker. It's not like, hey, oh, you can't take me out. You can't pay for shit. What are you, freaking loser? I'm not going to kick. I mean,
no, I'm sure it'd go through your mind, though.
No. Look, this guy, I've known him for 10 years. I knew him when his car was repossessed twice. I knew when he and I took quarters to go to the grocery store, and I still loved him.
Yeah.
And he's totally not in that place now. He's making fat money. But my point is it's the instinct to want to provide.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Call our guest.
So we're going to call our guest. His name is James Krabiel, I think. We'll ask him how he pronounces it. And we're going to talk about childhood traumas and how to get over them. So thank goodness I haven't been through one and any traumas or anything. I mean, I've gone through some hard times, but so I can't really relate. But let's see. Let's see what's going on because I know a lot of people go through this stuff. Let's hope he answers, because I never got a confirmation yesterday.
Just let the whole world know how unprofessional we are.
We're not unprofessional. We never get the confirmation. It doesn't mean it shouldn't happen. All right. Well, maybe we'll try in a few minutes, but this is not good. This is a man we were supposed to have before, and I totally forgot we were supposed to call him. A couple weeks ago. So I waited for him to call and he never called because we were supposed to call him. So we rescheduled and unfortunately I can't get a hold of him now.
We need to play off our fumbles better. We don't need to let the whole freaking world know that we don't have this stuff down. Sam, you got to improv.
The stuff is down. I'm telling you, it is down.
You just go, oh, what do you know?
I have the date right here, the phone number, everything. So don't tell me.
Go.
So we're gonna have to reschedule this one once again.
Well, whatever. You know what?
Yeah.
What's the topic on it?
Troubled childhood, triumphant life.
I'll diagnose that for you. This is how it works.
If you healing had from the battle scars of youth. I don't need you to analyze it for me.
Well, I didn't ask if you needed it. I was going to give you like a really funny way to do it.
Okay. How are we going to do it?
Okay, so what you're going to do. Uh-huh. Well, ultimately, I think you need God to heal from anything holistically.
Right.
But wherever it happened, move away.
Mm-hmm. Move away?
Move away.
Why?
And start over. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So if it happened in Pennsylvania in like a backwoods, move somewhere far away.
Don't stick around. That's
what
you say.
Don't stick around. Move away.
Yeah.
Forgive everybody in your life.
Really? Can you forgive?
It's a process, but yeah. Mm. I've had some hard ones I've had to forgive.
Really?
Yeah, over and over and over. I have to forgive them in my heart.
That's amazing.
You know, Jesus says forgive 77 times 7. He's illustrating the fact that forgiveness isn't just for the person. It's more for us.
Right.
Because like we know that when you hold on, like I'll get upset about stuff. That even like with a roommate or anything where somebody will irritate me or they'll do something that offends me and I can stew over it and go, well, Kara, you know, let it go. Mm-hmm. It's only irritating you and hurting you.
Right.
Let it go.
It's eating you up from
inside. Yeah, let it go or address it and move on. But either way, you can't stay in a place of constantly, you know.
Yeah.
I know, but forgiveness is not easy. And I think that you can't do it really apart from God. But because true forgiveness doesn't mean that you do business with a person again. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them.
Right.
But it means that you really relinquish the debt.
Mm.
You go, you don't owe me anymore.
Yeah.
You can't pay me back. Even if you could, you couldn't pay me back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not saying it didn't hurt. It's not saying that it didn't happen. But it's saying that you're no longer going to hold that person accountable, even
right.
in your heart, you know?
Right, yeah.
Have you ever had a really hard time forgiving somebody or something that you need to forgive?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it wasn't traumas or anything. But yeah, I mean, in fact, right now I find it hard to forgive somebody.
Oh, really? Can you talk about it or no?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
But you know it.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm full of resentment, you know. Some people are just like motherfuckers, you know.
Tell me how you feel, Sam.
So listen, I played this for you. I think I played again because there was the topless parade.
Okay, yeah. Update Venice. Everybody. You went to this last year, and now it's you found this.
Yeah, it was actually 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
okay.
When Susie was here.
Okay.
And Susie was kind of small-breasted, so for her it's fine, you know, to go topless and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, for you it'd be kind of hard because you'd be showing a lot, you know. And with smaller boobs, it's not. It's sort of like
if it was
okay.
me, there'd be a line of people behind me.
There would.
There'd be a bunch of babies that would want food. I'm serious. I'm around babies, and they even with
really
the cover
they
up,
want food.
No, I noticed that babies notice big boobs. It's instinctual.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. So anyway, so there was a topless parade in Venice on Venice Beach, and this is you know, they don't really disclose this, but this is organized by this cult. Called the Raelians.
Sounds healthy. And, do we know about this cult? What's it about?
You know, we can look it up. You can look
what's
up
it called?
Raelians. R-A-E-L.
R-A-E-L.
Right. And that's Rael. That's their leader. And so at any rate, they're trying to make a statement that women should be able to walk topless just like men. And they organize this thing. So, but you got to remember that... the women have to put pasties on, otherwise they would get arrested. But nevertheless, you still get an eyeful there. So I wanted to play this interview of this this woman here from the parade. So let's.
My name is Kat. I go by Trip K. I'm a comedy hip-hop artist. And I'm here because I am passionate about having at least some topless beaches in Los Angeles, which is considered to be one of the most liberal cities in the country, and yet we have no beaches where it is legal to take your top off as a woman if you wanted to. And so even though there are a lot of people here, a lot of people here who are more passionate about the cause and want it to be legal for women to take their tops off anywhere that men can, I back that. I'm totally down with that. I wouldn't do that, but I would like to at the beach. And so here I am at the beach fighting for the cause. Yeah, but mainly being able to be free at the place where you feel the most free and closest to the body of water that makes you feel the most free.
Supporting the right for women to be topless where men are.
Okay. So
wait a second. Play the part where that dude goes off. That's hysterical.
Oh, you want to hear that? Yeah. That's true. There was a dude there that didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't take their tops off, and we just like to be equal in that way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We like our freedoms mutual. Put the dick in constitutional. We like it unconstitutional. Good job.
This is funny. Yeah.
So how hard is your job today?
She's interviewing the cop.
About the same as it is every day. It's pretty tough.
Wait, this is the same?
Yeah, well, Venice.
That's true. Yeah. From last year to this year, what's changed? Anything?
Yes, I see that we're getting more, more action.
Come on, everyone. Women are different. They are not men. They are not. Oh, there must be a Democrat convention in town. There, look at all you perverts.
What happened to Adam and Eve? What happened to that?
They sinned. They sinned and they put clothes on. That's what they did. They sinned.
They ate an apple.
They ate an apple. They sinned.
I think you'd relate to that, no? I mean, do you look at it biblically at all?
Well, it's kind of complicated because on a personal level, yeah, but I definitely think that you can't, if people don't have that belief, you can't just yell it at them because it's not going to resonate with them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, these people weren't really interested in talking. People are just shouting their.
Yeah.
Their
I mean,
things,
like,
you know?
Personally, I mean, have you ever seen the movie read about the Betty Page, The Life of Betty Page?
No, I never read it.
Well, the movie's pretty good. I never read it either, but the movie's really cool and it kind of goes over her life and how she got into, you know, the photography and that.
She was like a pinup girl in the 50s.
Yeah, pinup,
60s,
and then it got kind of S&M and stuff, and it was undercover.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, bondage and things like that. It was modeling and stuff, and some movies, I guess. But you know, at the end of the movie, she's became like a I don't know, like kind of, she was passing out Bible tracts basically, and she was kind of doing ministry work, and people were coming up to her like, you know, what are you doing? Da, da, da. And then and she said, they were like, well, you know, she basically changed. She went away from that, but they were like, well, do you feel ashamed? Do you have any regrets? She goes, no. She goes, you know, Adam and Eve, were naked. You know, they only put clothes on once they sinned.
Right.
And she was using that to illustrate her perception of nudity and how it's pure and beautiful and that it's not something to be ashamed of.
Right.
But it's what people do with it in their minds and their hearts and how it becomes,
right,
goes to a perverted
and
place.
And that's the thing, you know, I mean, one problem that I have is people equating nudity with sex. You know, it's not the same.
Well, it's not, but it's where our minds go. I mean, that's
So there you go there, you know. But the point is that
sex isn't bad either, but it's, you know,
there's nothing wrong with seeing breasts, you know. I mean, bare breasts, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to, not everything has to be sexual, you know.
Well, I agree, but it is. And that's what people, I think, are saying is that, like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't go to something like this and protest against it or for it because it's definitely a personal, like, what you believe. And if you're asking what I personally believe, like, I think there's a sacredness to nudity, and I think that there's a specific context for it. And so I personally wouldn't go to a nude beach and expose myself like that. Not that that makes me better or worse than anybody, but because what I believe about God and how he made the body and what it's for, I think that it's communally celebrating it. Everybody's not in the same place with it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that that's being responsible with my body. And not that I always am responsible, but that I couldn't have peace doing that because I don't believe that that's what God would want me to do. But yeah. I can't put that on somebody that doesn't have the same views or know God.
Yeah, because some people don't feel you should be ashamed of your body.
Well, for me, it's not about shame. It's more about protecting my body for what God made it for and also possibly protecting it.
What do you mean? I mean, nobody's going to touch you or anything.
No. It's protecting it, like, emotionally and spiritually. And also knowing that, you know, when people look at other people, some people are going to have a gratitude for somebody's body and look at it as beautiful and go, wow, that's beautiful, or that's really interesting, or whatever. And some people are going to look at it and they're going to want to, in their, even just in the privacy and in the cavity of their own soul and their mind, are going to pervert the image and ideas, and it's going to cause sinfulness, like things that are not of God. Now, this is deep stuff that I wouldn't put on somebody that isn't, like, you're asking me my personal opinion. This is my opinion. This is what I believe. And so, like, in the Bible, we talk about not causing your brother to stumble. And that means if something, like, is a freedom issue, like, for example, drinking alcohol is not prohibited in the Bible. Okay. It's not a sin to have, you know, wine, okay, or a drink.
Right.
But if your freedom to drink causes someone else to sin, like if you're around someone else and they have a misunderstanding of alcohol, or if they have a tendency to overindulge, or if it's going to cause them to want to get reckless just because of, and it's not your fault, but if your freedom with drinking alcohol can instigate someone else to go crazy, then God calls us to restrict our freedom, not because it's right or wrong, but because we want to protect that person. And that's the concept I see here as well. It's like being nude, like you said, it's beautiful. It's, there's nothing wrong about it. Nudity is beautiful, and it's, and God made the body. But is being nude communally with people that you don't know where their heart and mind goes with it, I'm called to restrict that freedom because it's not necessarily going to bring life. It can bring sin into other people's, not because of me, but because of what they read into it. And that's a personal decision based on where my faith is and what I believe. Now, in a situation like this, I'm not going to go and protest for or against it, considering, you know, people don't.
Yeah, you don't know. Feel strongly either way, I guess.
No, I do feel strongly, but I also believe, like, biblically speaking, and what I believe is that, you know, you can't condemn the world to things that they don't know. Like, I can't, like, I can't get mad at the world for doing what the world does if they don't know Jesus. You know what I mean? I can't go, well, you're wrong, but they don't have the love or the knowledge or the belief that I do in that area. So it's like, it's wrong for me to go pointing fingers and telling them, you know, on those kind of issues. I mean, right. Some things are universal truths, like, you know, don't kill somebody, don't murder somebody. But, you know, when it comes to stuff like this, it's kind of like, well, like, just like the way you're looking at me right now, you're like, I don't, you're listening.
No, I'm looking at
you.
I'm taking it in.
Oh, I know you are. Yeah, you are. But I'm saying it doesn't necessarily resonate as true for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the same way, because it doesn't really convict your heart. Like, you don't feel convicted, do you?
No, because I don't think, I have a problem with people telling me what God thinks and what God wants.
And as you know? Yeah, and I understand.
Yeah, and, you know, you're sitting here and saying what God wants and what God
I'm saying what I believe. I'm not telling you what you can do, but I'm telling you what I believe.
Right, I understand
and you have a
that.
Problem
but,
with what
but,
I believe?
Yeah, but because I don't. No, not with you, what you believe, but with you saying that God wants this and God says this.
Well,
and
that's
God
what
says
I
that.
Believe, so I'm not allowed
okay.
to believe that.
No, you can okay. believe it. I just wanted to. I want to make sure that you understand that.
But you just don't agree with it.
No.
You don't, well, and I agree. I understand why you don't agree with it.
Right.
Because we don't have the same we don't have the same experience. We don't have the same faith.
Right.
We don't have the same intimacy in that area. So.
Right.
I respect that difference.
Okay.
You know
what
I mean?
I'm not looking at you funny. I'm just trying to understand.
No, I know.
I'm taking it in.
I know, but I'm saying there's a disconnect because there's some crucial fundamental differences in what we believe. So
right.
This kind of. This area right here, like somebody restricting their freedom to not be nude communally, has to do with what you believe and where your heart lies. And I can't expect somebody to have the same convictions when those fundamental building blocks of faith are so different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. There's parts in the Bible, too, that says, you know, Christians really aren't supposed to judge the world at all. Because the building blocks aren't even there, where it's so opposite of the belief isn't even there. So you can't judge them for doing what they're doing. However, in making a judgment versus being judgmental, what we've talked about is a heart issue. Christians can judge Christians by the belief system that we have and not condemn them and not be judgmental, like superior or self-righteous, but you can look at their actions or you can look at their attitude and go, okay, well, how does this line up if we both believe the same thing? You know what I mean? And again, there's a way to do that in a way that's loving and not condemning and whatever. But the whole point is that, you know, we're not called to judge the world. We're not called to, you know, place judgment. I mean, that's in God's hands. And ultimately, you know, they say evangelism is like a beggar telling another beggar where there's food. The whole concept is that you never forget that, you know, we're all in the same boat, but that this is where we found love. This is where we found light. This is where we find truth. And you share it with the world, but, you know, you don't condemn the world. So in a situation like this, I would not be proactive about trying to shut it down. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So at least you respect other people.
Yeah. I mean, I part of me thinks, yeah, it'd be great to go lie out somewhere on a beach and do and be nude, you know, and I don't necessarily think that's totally wrong for everybody, but, you know. I also don't think I'll probably be doing it anytime soon.
Yeah. And I don't know what their agenda is anyway. You know, these people are weird, those aliens. Yeah, I didn't
until
we went there. And
well, this is about Raelian beliefs and practices. It has to do with the religious mission of Claude Vauquelin, a former French auto racing journalist. Uh-huh. So this has to do with a former French auto racing journalist.
Yeah.
This is his religious mission, and this is where the Raelian beliefs stem from. So followers of Raelianism are believers in the Elohim and
Elohim.
Well, Elohim.
Yeah, Elohim. That's
God
in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right.
Believers in the Elohim, an advanced race of extraterrestrialists
mm-hmm.
who created life on Earth. Right. Raelians are individuals who believe in sexual self-determination as advocates of the universal ethic and world peace. They believe the world would be better if I had a spot on my computer. They believe that the world would be better if geniuses had an exclusive right to govern. As believers of life in outer space, they hope that human scientists will follow the path of the Elohim by achieving space travel through the cosmos and creating life on other planets.
Yeah, told you they're fucking weird. But you know what
basically,
it says
basically, it's
here?
All about sexuality and basically free love and anti-war.
Yeah.
Which, whatever.
But you know what it says here is that in 1975, Venice Beach was the most popular bare-it-all beaches in Los Angeles County.
Really?
Yeah. Now public nudity is illegal at all L.A. County beaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had a beach that was set up that was secluded and it was, you know, it wasn't something people had to see, but if they wanted to go out there and they could do their own thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, I can see that being okay.
Yeah. So it does say that they had to cover their nipples and the men wore bikini tops to symbolize the recognition of the gender inequality. It's like all bullshit, you know, the men just went there to see breasts, you know. That's all it boils down to.
Well, you went, right?
Mean, yeah, I took my son with me too.
Oh my gosh.
He had to see this.
Was he just so happy?
Yeah.
He was elated. Way to go, Father of the Year.
Yeah. Well, I do what's good for my son. You know, I want to make sure he's normal.
What does that mean? He's got to go ogle women? He's got to go look at women and...
Yeah, and enjoy breasts. Why not? He's a boy. He needs to see these things.
He's a ripe 8-year-old. Come on,
kid.
Or
he was a boy, you know. Now he's a young man. He's already 17 years old. Do you believe it? Wow.
Does he tell you stuff about his girlfriends?
All the time.
Does that freak you out?
All the time. He's got a girlfriend now. Yeah. It does freak me out, but you know what? I've always been open with him, and he feels he can be open with me. So that's a cool thing. What?
It's just so freaking weird, Sam. Your quality time with your kid involves watching Howard Stern and taking him to the beach, to topless beaches.
Right, and get him a Playboy magazine. Yeah. Help him become a man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, I know how you feel about it.
Yeah. So I found myself last night at a really interesting party. I was invited to go and went with a few friends to a publication launch party. And it's kind of a sexy publication. And anyway, it's supposed to be like kind of a sexual, like After Dark is the name of it, LA Weekly's After Dark.
Oh, yeah. I saw somebody posting that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so I haven't read it, but I have friends that are writers for it, and then I have a friend that heads it up. Anyway, so I went to the launch party last night, and very nice. It was very fun.
In Hollywood,
yeah, very fun, and we got all dressed up. It was a lot of fun, kind of a last-minute thing. And anyway, you know... What comes along with it is you have all these merchants and sponsors there that are in the sex business, and they sell toys, they sell merchandise, and I mean, I don't go into sex. Do you go into sex shops?
No.
Okay. I don't go into sex shops. I've never been. I don't think I may have been in one. I don't think so. But it's gotten so chic.
Mm.
Like they had this in glass encased vibrator that was so pretty. It didn't even look like a vibrator.
Right, they look like products from Apple, right?
They looked, and it glowed, and it was in a glass casing, and like jewels around it and
great
stuff.
Great designs and stuff.
Yeah, and you're like, you look at it, and then they show you the catalog of the different ones, and it's like they have one of them that's sitting among all this like beautiful like silk and jewels, and then some are like, you know, just the marketing of these things. It makes you think that it's like some amazing product that's going to change your life. You're flipping through it. You're like, damn, this has gotten high tech. You know, it should be like a new Louis Vuitton bag advertising. Uh-huh. And it's a vibrator or whatever.
I know. They don't even look like vibrators anymore.
No.
But they do the job. And that's the thing, is that there's such great designs that you can put it as a conversation piece in your living room or something.
Oh, well, they were giving away.
You wouldn't go that far.
No, they were giving away all the stuff. So people were walking around. I talked to this guy last night, super cute guy, and we're chatting it up. And he's like, oh, I feel really stupid, but I have all my free gifts in my hands. And he's like, I'm just put them down while I'm talking to you right now. And as he went, and he went and got me a drink, and I'm looking through the stuff. And it's like, I don't know what half this shit does. I don't know. But I'm like, how is this supposed to be fun? Like, one had prongs coming out of it. It was like a ring, and then it had tons of these different prongs. And I'm like, it looked like it was going to hurt you. It looked kind of like a surgical device. And I was like,
Yeah, but they make it from gel-like material, you know? So
yeah.
It's pleasant.
I guess it's pleasant. I don't know. But here's my question. Again, I'm not saying it's a right or wrong issue to use sex toys. Are you into sex toys or?
No, not really.
No.
No, I feel weird with that.
Yeah, here's my thing. I think they're kind of fun concepts or whatever, but here's my question is, you know, if, and I know people, and I've had friends, married couples and stuff that do not know how the females need assistance. They need to have a vibrator or whatever.
Right.
And I got a question. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying I got a question that in a microwave generation that we have, which is, now I want it now. I'm used to, you don't have time, you don't wait for anything, boom, 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 we want it now.
Right.
Is it sexual?
You want a quick orgasm too.
Yeah, it's kind of like you don't know how to work for it, and it becomes, you become conditioned and you become dependent on the things versus really being with your partner and learning each other's bodies and having to build intimacy and having to learn how to climax and getting that stimulus through actual relationship.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not easy to do with
someone. No, it's
someone.
Not. That's the point. It's not easy, but that takes... It takes more work, but it can get to where it gets more fluid.
Right. And what about if you don't have a guy? You don't have a partner.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it's a right or wrong issue. I'm just saying, you know, my question is, if you are a couple or married or whatever, and you're constantly having to use it, and let's say you ran out of batteries
But that's the thing. I don't think they have to use it.
No, I think a lot of
people
do. I think a lot of people, a lot of women need vibrators. I know a lot of women that need vibrators.
I don't know if they need them.
Dude, I'm telling you, friends are like, they can't get there without it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not that they don't, it's just, but I'm like, yeah, well, if you keep using it, your body's going to be used to this.
Right, right.
And it's like, you know, versus taking the time.
But they can't reach an orgasm anyway, so what
No,
does
I don't think that people are incapable, but I think that it takes a lot of work for some people. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a self-discovery process. I also think it's a discovery process with your partner. Mm-hmm. It's like being uninhibited, like letting your boundaries down, not having to rush through. I know some women are afraid that it takes them too long to get there, that they're going to bore their partner, so that they rush through it, so they don't even have one. They just want to get, they're too concerned with pleasing their partner, so they don't allow themselves the time to relax and to get there. You know what I mean? They feel uncomfortable being touched a certain way, or they're afraid of being that vulnerable with their partner. You know what I mean? And so I kind of think that there's other stuff that if people worked through, you know, they can achieve the physical and the intimacy with their partner versus, dependent.
But you also have to remember there's a lot of toys other than vibrators, you know,
I
that
really
people...
I really want to know all of them. I went through some of the catalog. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Right?
I don't... If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, I don't need to bring in, like, a freaking, 4.0 contraption that comes from the ceiling that tosses me and puts me in a web, and somehow my partner has to get me out of the web.
You don't know about that. It could be fun.
Well, I asked you. I was like, are you into the sex toys? You said not really.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Why are
But what I'm saying is some people, because I find it distracting, you know, I find it like bringing something additional to the bed and, you know, with the noises that it makes and all that. I don't know. Look,
yeah,
I'm totally
sexy.
For them.
Yeah, you're not against if people want to.
No,
wanna,
not
I know.
At all.
I'm just saying,
I mean,
but
I
you're
think
saying
it's pretty cool
it's
thing.
It's not sexy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good if a woman uses it alone, when she's alone and stuff. Totally cool. But in bed, I don't know. It's just not...
Wouldn't it be funny, though?
You know, with all the noise and everything, it makes me feel weird.
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny, though, if you're about to go get it on and, you know, you guys bring out whatever contraption you guys just got and then all of a sudden it's not working right and then you got to get new batteries and then you got to read the Radio Shack manual on it and you got to... Can you just program it? Hurry up! You know, I mean, just... That'd be hysterical.
Yeah.
That's a funny scene.
But there's some things, you know, I mean, they have like cock rings and stuff, you know.
Oh, what
can,
does that do?
It just...
It holds the erection.
It blocks all the blood in your penis, you know, so then it's it makes it really hard, you know.
How about so getting so like aroused that you just are really hard?
What if you can't?
How could people not?
Well, you're not a man. You don't know that.
No, I'm asking
you, though. It can't happen on command.
No, I'm talking about like...
Especially when you get older.
But here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, I guess when you get older, it's different. But let's just say it's not a biological issue. Let's say it's not fully getting there. Well, maybe there's...
But not necessarily that. You see, even if you have an erection, I mean, it just makes it more maybe pleasant, you know, maybe for both partners and stuff. You don't know.
That's what I'm asking.
People are trying to enhance their sex life, you know. And what happens is, you know, when people are in relationships for many years, I guess, you know, even therapists tell you, you know, you should... Make things fresh, you know, bring things to the bedroom, you know, things like that.
Well, so, I mean, that could be a lot of different things. But I wonder how much of it is, this is what I'm getting at. Again, I'm not saying that in and of itself it's bad. I am saying, though, is I'm questioning how much of it is, you know, we just need to biologically tweak some things here or physically tweak some things, or how much of it is we're just not as connected sexually right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of people would rather just like take a pill or get a new toy or, you know, do the microwave thing than actually kind of get to the issue. Like if it's not a biological issue, like you know, men get older, but if the guy is not getting aroused fully or it's not a super hard erection frequently, what if it's because there's not a foreplay? What if they're not connected deeper? What if there's other reasons why he's not being as aroused?
Well, if there are, then there are.
Well, no,
know?
And that's what I'm saying is that I think that these are the questions that I feel like are, you know, that takes work and people aren't as interested. They'd rather like, hey, just put a cock ring on it, you know what I mean? Like, I just soup it
make
up,
it
you
more
know?
More pleasant. And what if it enhances your orgasm? You know, what if it has nothing to do with biological or anything? You just want to do it to enhance your orgasm. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm not saying there is something wrong with it.
Okay, good.
I'm just questioning the alternatives because I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting too because it just seems like there's a lot that's all about sex out there, but it's not very sexy.
Yeah. Well, not to you. Not to you. But
no, I mean, I'm asking. I'm dialoguing to get other people's opinion on it. You know, see, and I'm kind of, it's an interesting, you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, you know.
It's just, I mean, if it supplements your sex life, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know. But if it becomes a problem, like you said, you know, I mean, if then you can't get off without a vibrator, then yeah, you have a problem. I agree with that.
What? You're funny. Well, crazy man.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time here, Kara. So you are you going jogging today then?
I'm gonna go this evening. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I'm going to a birthday party this evening. I got to do it during the day.
Really?
I'm going to a surprise birthday party. Hope I'm not listening.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah, I'm surprising them, and I'm coming as a stripper.
Ah,
but it's
that
a character
would be nice.
That I do.
Uh-huh.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'm going as a character. It's the slow stripper.
Uh-huh.
So like, I got lipstick across my face. I black out one of my tooth. Like,
right.
And I'm like.
So what are you gonna wear underneath? You're gonna strip to a bikini or something?
The funny thing is I come in with different Halloween costumes on, and I strip off these elaborate Halloween costumes, and I have five wigs, and I keep taking off a wig, and it's another wig's underneath.
Wow.
So it's funny, and it's not that sexy, but I learned a couple stripper moves that takes way too much upper body strength. I cannot execute it well.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try them out, and I'm probably gonna fall on this person. And this person's like a little guy.
Really?
He's married and everything. His wife knows I'm doing it. He's a little guy, and I'm not that little. So this is gonna be really funny. It's called Stuepos Heels. somebody call for the stripper. And then I bring my music, and it's like, you know, not sexy.
Not sexy.
So it's more of a comedy act.
I see. Okay, well, tell us all about it. You should have somebody take a video of it.
Okay, I think that they will, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that they will.
Okay, cool. Just put it on YouTube so we can all see that.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Kara, thank you for joining us.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks for
y'all be
joining
good.
Me.
God bless. Bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.